The Youth's Instructor, June 12, 1902, in Service for Christ. The Youth's Instructor, June 12, 1902, in Service for Christ. There can be no self-seeking in the life of him who follows the Savior. The true Christian banishes all selfishness from his heart. How can he live for self as he thinks of Christ hanging on the cross, giving his life for the life of the world? In your behalf, Jesus died a death of shame. Are you willing to consecrate yourself to his service? To hold yourself ready to be or to do anything he may require? Are you willing to put self aside and speak a word of warning to the companion you see yielding to Satan's temptations? Are you willing to sacrifice some of your plans for the sake of trying to lead him in safe paths? Many youth are in peril who might be saved if Christians would manifest toward them a loving, unselfish interest. By faithful effort, they might be led to Jesus. But how many professing Christians there are who are so absorbed in self that they make no effort to help those in need of their help? Terrible will be their remorse in the day of judgment, when their mistake will be plainly revealed. The Spirit of God was striving with the straying ones, striving to lead them home. But those who should have cooperated with God were occupied with their own plans, too busy to see the opportunity that he offered them to work with him. Thus, the connection between heaven and earth was broken. Those upon whom God called for help did not respond. Remember that when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you entered into a solemn covenant to employ your powers in his service. Into this work, you are to put earnest, wholehearted effort. Christ will not accept divided service. It is expected of a steward that he be found faithful. You are to make all temporal matters subordinate to the work the Lord has placed in your hands. He will call for a strict account of the use you have made of his gifts. The true Christian works unselfishly and untiringly for the Master. He does not seek ease or self-gratification, but holds all, even life itself, subject to God's call. And to him are spoken the words, "He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." To the indolent, those who are doing nothing for God, comes the inquiry, "Why stand ye here all the day idle? Is there nothing to be done in my vineyard? Are there no souls for you to help? Have you forgotten that the judgment is coming? Work while it is called today. The night cometh in which no man can work." You are God's light-bearer. He has placed in your hands a lamp that you are to keep trimmed and burning for him. By all that has given us advantage over another, be it education and refinement, nobility of character, Christian training, religious experience, we are in debt to those less favored. And so far as lies in our power, we are to minister unto them. If we are strong, we are to stay up the hands of the weak. Angels of glory that do always behold the face of the Father in heaven make such their special charge. Angels are ever present where they are most needed, with those who have the hardest battle with self to fight, and whose surroundings are the most disagreeable. And in this ministry, Christ's true followers will cooperate.